I recognize Dr. John McClanahan from Arkansas.
Mr. President, this is a resolution concerning public education. Whereas the vitality of the nation depends upon public education of high quality, whereas the Southern Baptist Convention gave its overwhelming support to the landmark school desegregation decision of the United States Supreme Court when this convention met here in St. Louis, Missouri, June 2 through 5, 1954. Therefore, be it resolved that this convention reaffirm its commitment to our system of public school education as the best hope for raising the level of knowledge of all children in the nation. And be it further resolved that we accept the recent unanimous decision of the Supreme Court as a further step toward school integration in fulfillment of its historic action 17 years ago. And be it further resolved that we support efforts at local, state, and national levels to enhance the quality of public education, thus making responsible freedom more possible for each young person in America. And be it further resolved that we seek God's guidance in the midst of social change, that our attitudes and actions may speed the progress of justice, and that our patience and compassion may make a positive witness of Christian love to all people in our day. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? There's a second, and it's referred to the Resolutions Committee. I recognize Brother Jimmy Walker of Mississippi.
Mr. President, messengers of the convention, my resolution has to do with the use of beverage alcohol. Whereas alcoholism is reported by many groups to be this nation's fourth-ranked health problem, and it is admitted by all medical groups that problem drinking is a great health hazard in the United States, and whereas the Bible in many places in the Old and New Testament warns us about the dangers of alcoholic beverages, and whereas it has been proven by many groups and many studies that at least 50% of all fatal automobile accidents in America can be directly connected with the consumption of alcoholic beverage, and whereas there's more than abundant evidence linking the drinking of alcoholic beverage to a large percentage of the major crimes committed in the United States of America, and whereas a major portion of the problems encountered by our courts, welfare departments, law enforcement officials, as well as the crisis counseling done by us, are directly related to the use of alcohol as a beverage drink, and whereas the only absolute insurance against alcoholism or problem drinking is a lifelong abstinence, and this is quoted from the HEW report of alcohol and alcoholism, whereas the alcohol beverage industry is brazenly and fraudulently making claims that its products are the way to a more fruitful and happy life, and whereas the government of the United States has been wise enough to control the advertising of cigarettes because of their danger to public health, be it therefore resolved, one, that we, the messengers of the 1971 Southern Baptist Convention, go on record as opposing any use of alcohol as a beverage drink. Two, that we urge the Congress of the United States to pass laws prohibiting the advertising of any kind of alcoholic beverage drink on television or radio. Three, that we instruct the Secretary of this convention to send a copy of this resolution to each of the members of Congress. I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? Thank you. Thank you. This matter will be referred to the Resolutions Committee. Brother DeGarmo from New York did get it right.
That's right, sir. I am Don DeGarmo, pastor and messenger from the Trinity Baptist Church of Windsor, New York. Whereas biblical and church history reminds us of the disaster and failure that comes to God's children who depend on their own strength, and whereas the Southern Baptist Convention is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tool in the hands of God with which to work the work of redemption, and Whereas Almighty God is always victorious when in control, and whereas all the power of God is made available to those indwelt by His Holy Spirit, therefore be it resolved that the officers of our convention, our church pastors, and the members of our churches be reminded not to look primarily to themselves, their churches, associations, state, or Southern Baptist Convention boards, commissions, committees, and etc. for guidance, power, or as recipients of glory, and be it further resolved that each of us be urged to yield without reservation to the power, control, and leadership of the indwelling Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Brother President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Second to the motion. I hear second. This is referred to the resolution committee. Brother Lloyd of Tennessee.
Mr. President, fellow messengers, whereas a need for radical reform in American prison systems is demonstrated by the frequent warehousing of individuals in overcrowding, unsanitary, and destructive conditions, and whereas in many prison systems, vindictive punishment often prevails rather than redemptive rehabilitation, and whereas the indiscriminate detention of prisoners together continues regardless of the nature of their offense, their age, or the likelihood of their restoration to society, and whereas few, if any, state departments of corrections have been provided the funds needed to pay adequate salaries to prison officials and to hire an adequate number of case workers, psychologists, and psychiatrists, therefore be it resolved that this convention call upon Southern Baptists to follow the example of Jesus and care for those in prison by working to provide funding, education, ministries, and such innovations as work release programs, conjugal visitation, and expanded parole alternatives necessary to make prisons more honestly correctional. And be it further resolved that we urge Baptists in state conventions to work with community leaders and elected officials for more humane and more Christian treatment of offenders. And be it further resolved that we call upon prison officials in federal, state, and local systems to maximize education and vocational training in the rehabilitative efforts. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? I hear a second. This is referred to the Resolutions Committee. Dr. Vaughn King from South Carolina is recognized this time.
Mr. President, messengers to this Southern Baptist Convention, I come with deep conviction and a sense of urgency to offer a resolution concerning the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ as an institution. In view of the unprecedented attacks upon the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ as an institution in the past few years by foes without and professed friends within, be it therefore resolved, one, that we reaffirm our faith in the Church as an institution of divine origin with sacred ordinances, scriptural officers, and authoritative orders from our invincible leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Two, that we deny and renounce the accusation that the Church is to blame for the major problems of our society, but we steadfastly proclaim the New Testament concept of the virtues and values of the Church as an institution ordained of God to present, promote, and propagate the principles of the and power of the kingdom of God among men. Three, that we proclaim with confidence the fact that the Church is relevant in its meaning, its message, and its Messiah to the deepest needs of the individual and society. Four, that we as Southern Baptists convened in St. Louis, Missouri, call upon our preachers and our people to sound the note of confidence and optimism that the Church, which was bought with the precious blood of Christ, will overcome all critics and enemies and ultimately realize the promise of our Lord that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Five, that we as Southern Baptists reaffirm our position that the local Baptist Church, constituted on the truths and principles of the New Testament, is autonomous as a body, independent of outside ecclesiastical authority, and free to cooperate with other churches, associations, and conventions of like faith for the spread of the gospel and the promotion of every common interest in Christian education, the healing ministry through our hospitals, and the salvation of the souls and the lives of the multiplied millions of people on this earth. Brother President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
As a second, this is referred to the Resolutions Committee. I recognize Brother Thomas Ayo from Alabama.
Mr. President, I move that the Foreign Mission Board be authorized to pay the shipping expenses of any foreign missionary's personal belongings when having to be shipped back to the States, the amount of which would not exceed the amount incurred to get his personal belongings to his field of service, if it is the decision of the board that the missionary return to the States, or if the board decides that he cannot return to his field of service as he is on furlough, this being retroactive as of October 1st, 1970.
Thank you. As a second to this motion, I will rule under a previous ruling of Bylaw 16 that this matter also ought to be referred to the Executive Committee because it has to do with one of the agencies or institutions of this convention. I recognize Phil Strickland from Dallas, Texas.
I would like to offer the following resolution. Whereas crowded civil and criminal trial dockets are resulting in increasing delays before trial, and whereas long delays infringe upon the basic constitutional right to a speedy trial, and whereas the pressure on the courts caused by the present case overload makes the attaining of true justice more difficult, and whereas many crimes are committed by persons out on bail and awaiting trial for other offenses.
Whereas a need for radical reform in American prison systems is demonstrated by the frequent warehousing of individuals in overcrowding, unsanitary, and destructive conditions. And whereas in many prison systems, vindictive punishment often prevails rather than redemptive rehabilitation. And whereas the indiscriminate detention of prisoners together continues regardless of the nature of their offense, their age, or the likelihood of their restoration to society. And whereas few, if any, state departments of corrections have been provided the funds needed to pay adequate salaries to prison officials and to hire an adequate number of caseworkers, psychologists, and psychiatrists. Therefore, be it resolved that this convention call upon Southern Baptists to follow the example of Jesus and care for those in prison by working to provide funding, education, ministries, and such innovations as work release programs, conjugal visitation, and expanded parole alternatives necessary to make prisons more honestly correctional. And be it further resolved that we urge Baptists and state conventions to work with community leaders and elected officials for more humane and more Christian treatment of offenders. And be it further resolved that we call upon prison officials in federal, state, and local systems to maximize education and vocational training in the rehabilitative efforts. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? I hear a second. This is referred to the Resolutions Committee. Dr. Vaughn King from South Carolina is recognized this time.
Mr. President, messengers to this Southern Baptist Convention, I come with deep conviction and a sense of urgency to offer a resolution concerning the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ as an institution. In view of the unprecedented attacks upon the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ as an institution in the past few years by foes without and professed friends within, be it therefore resolved, one, that we reaffirm our faith in the Church as an institution of divine origin with sacred ordinances, scriptural officers, and authoritative orders from our invincible leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Two, that we deny and renounce the accusation that the Church is to blame for the major problems of our society. But we steadfastly proclaim the New Testament concept of the virtues and values of the Church as an institution ordained of God to present, promote and propagate the principles of the and power of the kingdom of God among men. 3, that we proclaim with confidence the fact that the church is relevant in its meaning, its message, and its Messiah to the deepest needs of the individual and society. 4, that we as Southern Baptists convened in St. Louis, Missouri, call upon our preachers and our people to sound the note of confidence and optimism that the church, which was bought with the precious blood of Christ, will overcome all critics and enemies and ultimately realize the promise of our Lord that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 5, that we as Southern Baptists reaffirm our position that the local Baptist church, constituted on the truths and principles of the New Testament, is autonomous as a body, independent of outside ecclesiastical authority, and free to cooperate with other churches, associations, and conventions of like faith for the spread of the gospel and the promotion of every common interest in Christian education, the healing ministry through our hospitals, and the salvation of the souls and the lives of the multiplied millions of people on this earth. Brother President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
As a second, this is referred to the Resolutions Committee. I recognize Brother Thomas Ayo from Alabama.
Mr. President, I move that the Foreign Mission Board be authorized to pay the shipping expenses of any foreign missionary's personal belongings when having to be shipped back to the States, the amount of which would not exceed the amount incurred to get his personal belongings to his field of service, if it is the decision of the board that the missionary return to the States, or if the board decides that he cannot return to his field of service as he is on furlough, this being retroactive as of October 1st, 1970.
Thank you. As a second to this motion, I will rule under a previous ruling of Bylaw 16 that this matter also ought to be referred to the Executive Committee because it has to do with one of the agencies or institutions of this convention. I recognize Phil Strickland from Dallas, Texas.
I would like to offer the following resolution. Whereas crowded civil and criminal trial dockets are resulting in increasing delays before trial, and whereas long delays infringe upon the basic constitutional right to a speedy trial, and whereas the pressure on the courts caused by the present case overload makes the attaining of the true justice more difficult, and whereas many crimes are committed by persons out on bail and awaiting trial for other offenses, and whereas the delay in trials decreases the deterrent effect of punishment, therefore be it resolved by the messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention in session at St. Louis, Missouri, that we commend the efforts by the Chief Justice of the United States to develop more efficient courtroom administration and procedure, and be it further resolved that we urge an objective reevaluation of present court structures and procedures by the American Bar Association and the State Bar Associations with a view to prompt and significant reform. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? I hear a second. This matter is referred to the Committee on Resolutions. I recognize Dr. Willis Bennett of Kentucky.
Mr. Chairman, I'm presenting a resolution on hunger in America, reading as follows. Believing that the continued existence of poverty-caused hunger in America is a national shame and a moral wrong, believing that it is not the shortage of national resources that stand in the way of eliminating poverty-caused hunger, but a misuse of those resources, believing that the elimination of poverty-caused hunger is a responsibility of the whole of society, and believing that the church has far too long passed by on the other side of hunger, closing its eyes to human need, be it resolved that, first, we exert our influence on shifting this nation's priorities toward the reform of existing welfare programs and the implementation of new ones at all levels of government. 2, we encourage that all programs for the elimination of poverty-caused hunger respect and enhance the dignity of the participants by maximizing the choices available to them. 3, we search for ways to devise programs of our own to inform our membership, to arouse Christian concern about poverty and hunger, and wherever feasible, to involve ourselves in addressing these problems at the local level through programs of our own and in cooperation with other committed groups. And four, we ask the Christian Life Commission to provide the leadership toward the fulfillment of these goals. Mr. President, I move the adoption of the resolution.
Do I hear a second? Thank you. This matter is referred to the Committee on Resolution. It just merely requests leadership to be furnished by an agency and not directly involving the agency itself. I recognize Brother Welton Getty from Kentucky.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the following resolution. Whereas President Richard M. Nixon, in special messages to Congress on October 30, 1969, and February 24, 1971, urged the establishment of a buyer's bill of rights to protect the consumer's right to make an intelligent choice among products and services, the right to accurate information on which to make a free choice, the right to expect that the health and safety of the buyer is taken into account by those who seek his patronage, and the right to register dissatisfaction and have a complaint heard and weighed when a buyer's interests are badly served. And whereas there is an increasing desire on the part of the American consumer for more adequate safeguards against shoddy goods, unhonored warranties, false advertising, cutthroat credit, and outright fraud, and whereas Southern Baptists have sought historically to uphold the biblical principles of justice, mercy, and individual freedom, therefore be it resolved that this convention endorse the President's Buyer's Bill of Rights, and be it further resolved that we encourage the United States Congress to establish an independent consumer protection agency to assist in implementing the President's concept of buyer's rights, and be it further resolved that we challenge state and local governments to enact stricter laws to protect the consumer, and be it further resolved that we encourage Baptist churches and state conventions to extend their ministries by appointing people's advocates who in the name of Jesus Christ would call attention to and encourage the correction of consumer abuses, and be it further resolved that we call upon Southern Baptist laymen, especially professionals such as scientists, lawyers, doctors, engineers, and economists, to lead in exposing wasteful and hurtful practices which are still imposed upon their fellow Americans.
Is there a second? I hear second. It should be referred to the Resolutions Committee. I recognize Brother Gibson from Georgia.
I'm a messenger from the First Church of Decatur, Georgia, a student at the Georgia State University, and a veteran of combat in the Republic of Vietnam. Baptists have always believed in liberty of conscience and have honored men who were willing to brave adverse public opinion for the sake of conscientious scruples. A considerable number of members of churches of our convention, through their interpretations of the life and teachings of Christ, have found it difficult or impossible to reconcile themselves to participation in war. Due to impending congressional action, which may delete student deferments in the selective service system, most Baptist youth will be called upon to face the issues of war and military draft at a much earlier age. The convention ought to provide information and counseling for those concerned about war and the draft, accord them the right of their convictions, and protect them in that right to the extent of its ability. Therefore, be it resolved that the convention reaffirm its recognition of the right of conscientious objection to war, and that the convention develop programs and materials for a ministry of draft counseling to be conducted by Baptist ministers and laymen. I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? Thank you so much. This will be referred to the Resolutions Committee. Brother Hale from Mississippi.
Be it resolved that we as Southern Baptists join hand and heart to improve the ministries of the small churches and their pastor. Be it resolved that a minimum wage of $7,500 plus living accommodations and utilities be recommended to all full-time pastors. That a volunteer consolidation of small rural churches be encouraged. This could be worked out jointly by local churches who agree by calling co-pastors, paying as much as possible toward the salaries, then being supplemented through state conventions or vehicles approved. I so move the adoption of this report.
Thank you. The motion has been seconded. This will be referred to the Resolutions Committee. Brother Maddox from Missouri.
I have a resolution on abortion. Whereas Christians in the American society today are faced with difficult decisions about abortion, and whereas some advocate that there be no abortion legislation, thus making the decision a purely private matter between a woman and her doctor, and whereas others advocate no legal abortion, or would permit abortion only if the life of the mother is threatened, therefore be it resolved that this convention express the belief that society has a responsibility to affirm through the laws of the state a high view of the sanctity of human life, including fetal life, in order to protect those who cannot protect themselves. And be it further resolved that we call upon Christians to work for legislation that would allow the possibility of abortion under certain conditions such as rape, incest, clear evidence of severe fetal deformity, and carefully ascertained evidence of the likelihood of serious damage to the emotional, mental, and physical health of the mother. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
A second. I hear second, so it's referred to the Committee on Resolutions. I recognize Brother Dale Baker of Missouri.
Mr. President, this deals with the freedom of conscience and practical Christian living. Recent developments in our nation bring to our attention the unchristian characteristics in our labor unions. Our nation has prospered on the principle that the rights of minorities are protected. However, the excesses in and misuse of power by the leaders of many unions, the criminality and financial plunder of pension funds and other fiscal trusts, the union tentacles coveting and forcing into their control areas of employment, which are specifically management functions, require correction. Further, when the representatives of the unions and the representatives of management come to an agreement, it is invariably binding on the management, but not on the unions, until their members have voted, which causes delay and discomfort to the public. Evidently, the original Wagner Act and its successor laws, labor laws, as well as transportation laws, give union leaders authority, but without corresponding responsibility. Further, the majority vote of a union binds all covered employees, even if they do not believe in, nor care to belong to, nor care to financially support union policies or political commitments. Further, that the publications of various unions openly advocate loyalty to the union rather than to the employer who pays their wages, and compel assent rather than encourage constructive dissent. Therefore, be it resolved by this Southern Baptist Convention 1971 that we call to the attention of and encourage action by our legislators and governmental leaders to eliminate injustices, establish adequate protection of the rights of individual workers, the total responsibility of labor union leaders commensurate with the required authority of management in labor relations, and to establish procedures for curbing covetousness, venality, and plundering. Also, to provide for due recognition of viable strike settlement procedures in the nation's interest for prevention of work stoppages, with commensurate penalties to leaders who violate or encouraged to violate these procedures. Mr. President, I move this resolution.
Is there a second? Yes. This will be referred to the Resolutions Committee. I recognize Dr. M.O. Owens of North Carolina.
Mr. President, fellow messengers, since Baptists believe in full and free expression of opinion, and since the Baptist program has carried two articles which present acceptance of fallibility and errancy in the scriptures, and no article of an opposite viewpoint, and since the Baptist faith and message of 1963 declares that Baptists believe the Bible to be, quote, truth without any mixture of error, unquote, I move that the convention respectfully request the executive committee and the editor of the Baptist program to provide for equal space that competent conservative scholars may present the convention viewpoint which holds to the inerrancy of the Bible.
Thank you. There's a second, and this will go to the Resolutions Committee.
Trotter.
Brother Trotter from where?
Illinois.
Because of the recent death of Dr. George Schroeder, our Executive Secretary of the Brotherhood Commission, I move that we send appropriate note of Christian sympathy to Mrs. Schroeder and the family.
Is there a second? I think we can, by common consent. This was something that we deeply appreciate, his calling to our attention, and it shall be done. Is there any other matter of miscellaneous business that I see microphone four? Yes, sir. Give me your name and the state from which you come.
J.H. Spencer, Mobile, Alabama. I was waiting to the last, Mr. President, to see if someone else would do this, and I see they haven't. I'd like to move that this convention direct the proper officers to take steps to increase the funds to the Foreign Mission Board to the figures requested by that board, and that this be done as soon as possible.
Is there a second to this motion? This will be referred under Bylaw 16 to the Executive Committee.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. May we have a copy of this here at the Recording Secretary's desk? Thank you, sir. Is there any other matter of miscellaneous business? Then I'll entertain a motion that we adjourn. Moved and seconded. May we stand for prayer, please. I'll ask Brother Jack Harwell, editor of the Christian Index, to come and lead us in our benediction. Let me remind you that I have requested that the ushers reserve this hall, the seats in this hall, until 2:30, call to order for messengers only. After that, other alternates and visitors will be permitted to get into the hall. Until 2:30, call to order. If you're a messenger, we'll reserve one of the seats here for you. Now let us pray together as Brother Harwell leads us.
Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee that in the freedom You give to us, in the joy You give to us, we can exercise our wisdom and our judgment and our freedom to seek to minister to people. We pray that as we go now to our noon meal, that we'll go in the spirit of Jesus, that people will see Him in us, not only today, but throughout all of life. We pray that You would bless us as we come together here, that we might come to love Thee more and come to love one another more, and that we might go out to prove to the people back in our communities that we love them more because we have been here. In Thy name we pray. Amen.
Britain, a contemporary English composer, the
and in sacrifice offer Him to me. Upon that hill there besides Thee, I will that so it be. hast sent, offer I will to thee. Thy bidding done shall be. Make thee ready, my dear darling, for we must do a little thing.
Father, I am already.
This woody dew on thy back it bring, we may no longer abide.
Father, I am already.
A sword and fire that I will take, for sacrifice behooves me to make. God's bidding will I not forsake, but ever obedient be.
Father, I am already to do your bidding most meekly, and to bear this woeful bane am I, as you commanded me. Faggot, my own son dear. Already, Father, lo, it is here. But why make you such heavy cheer? Are you anything adrift?
Ah, dear God, that me is one.
Father, if it be thy will, where is the beast that we shall kill?
There our son is none upon this hill.
Father, I to see you bear that drawn sword.
Isaac, son, peace, I pray thee, thou breakest my heart even in three.
I pray you, Father, lay nothing from me, but tell me what you think.
Isaac, for too late.
My child, thou art so sweet, thou must be bound both hands and feet. Oh. thy sword in no manner on Isaac, thy dear darling. For thou dreadest me, well wot I, that of thy son has no mercy. King of bliss, thy bidding shall be done iwis. A horned wether here I see, among the briars tied is he. To thee offered shall he be, anon right in this place, anon right in this place.
Thank you, Dr. and Mrs. Robert Rich, for this inspiration. We'll now come to order. Mr. Jarvis, will you come and lead us in a hymn, please?
May we stand together, please? You look like you were well fed and are ready to sing God's praises. Let's just sing one stanza. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Thank you. so much. Jerry Jolly, Greenville, South Carolina, is going to share with us his testimony and song. Won't you be seated, please? Continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am. His child and forever I. Jesus Christ, the first and last, no man works like him, for he is King of kings, he is Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, the first and last, no man works like him. King Jesus rides a milk-white horse, no man works like him. The river of Jordan he did cross, no man works like him, for he is King of kings, he is Lord of lords. Oh, Jesus Christ, the first and last, oh, King Jesus rides in the middle of the air, oh, he calls the saints from everywhere. Christ, the first and last.
like him. Ride on, ride on, ride on, ride on, Jesus.
Thank you, Jared Jolly from Greenville, South Carolina. I recognize Dr. James A. Langley, Executive Secretary, the District of Columbia Baptist Convention, who will read our scripture and lead us in prayer.
Scripture from Romans 8, verses 1 through 10, is found on page 11 of your program booklet. I ask that we read it responsively with the men reading with me and the women reading the verses in the darker print, and then that we read in unison the last two verses. On page 11, the men with me first. There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. What the law could not do, because human nature was weak, God did. He condemned sin in human nature by sending his own Son, who came with a nature like man's sinful nature, to do away with sin. For those who live as their human nature tells them to live, have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to live, have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. And so a man becomes an enemy of God when his mind is controlled by what human nature wants. For he does not obey God's law, and in fact, he cannot obey it. But you do not live as your human nature tells you to. You live as the Spirit tells you to. If, in fact, God's Spirit lives in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ lives in you, although your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is life for you because you have been put right with God. May we pray together. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. In a time of moral decadence, call us to a vision of and commitment to a holy and transcendent God who has come near to us in the purity and the love and grace of Jesus Christ. When our nation and world are torn by bitterness and discord, enable us to be bridge builders and ministers of reconciliation. Confronted by staggering need, lead us to minister even to the least of these, to minister to the whole person, body, mind, and soul. Because of the sanctity of human life, and because of war's apocalypse of horrors, may we who claim to follow the Prince of Peace lead in making war no more. We have taken the terrible risks of war. Now grant us courage to take the risks of peace. With contrition, we confess our sin and our sins. Save us, O God, from self-righteousness, from hypocrisy and sham. Save us from a hypocritical spirit, from pride and prejudice, and a closed mind and a cold heart, from a spirit that holds not God in awe or man in love. Summon us and our churches, we pray, to the unity of the Holy Spirit, to proclaim Christ by word and deeds. Summon us to obedience to thy will and to thy joy and peace, while proclaiming the greatest love story of the ages. May we practice that love which Jesus has shown to us, to one another, and to all men, a love that rises above justice, but does not fall below justice. Gracious Father, teach us that you are not withholding Pentecost, but that we are withstanding it. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not man nor thee. We pray in the strong name of the Trinity. Amen.
I want to ask at this time that the heads of Southern Baptist Convention agencies come and occupy the chairs here on my left on the platform. And those fraternal messengers in the building, please come to the platform and sit here on my right at this time, those who are fraternal messengers. It is necessary for me to make a couple of announcements, so please give your undivided attention. There is an emergency announcement for David and Dorothy Reniker of Nashville, Tennessee. I need to see you here on the platform immediately. David and Dorothy Reniker, Reverend David Reniker and his wife Dorothy. Please contact me here at the president's desk immediately. The police department has requested that all messengers observe street parking signs. Grace will apply today, but tomorrow tickets will be issued. Also, tickets will be given to cars parked on 15th Street facing north that do not have official car convention signs on them. This is the chairman of the Transportation Committee of the Local Arrangements Committee. Have the fraternal messengers come to the platform, the heads of convention agencies and so forth. Dr. Ruth. Mr. Rhodes, will you come and take the chair, please, and let me visit with Brother Reniker just a minute. Dr. Ruth is to present the fraternal messengers, and I'll ask you to greet them in behalf of our convention and to welcome them here. Please, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we have two fraternal messengers. There may be others here from other conventions, and if they are, I wish they would please make themselves known. But we're very delighted to have Mrs. Marcus Roth, who is the newly elected president of the American Baptist Convention from Seattle, Washington. Come up here where they can see you a little bit. Ms. Roth tells me that she's not the leader of the Women's Liberation Movement, but she is the leader of American Baptists, all of them, and we're delighted to have her here.
Thank you.
And then we're delighted to have Dr. Earl Harrison, who is the president of the National Progressive Baptist Convention. Now, Dr. Harrison really comes, though, in a dual capacity because his church has a dual relationship with the National Progressive Baptist Convention and also the Southern Baptist Convention. And so he actually comes as a messenger to the Southern Baptist Convention from his church, as well as coming as the president of the National Baptist Convention of America, Dr. Earl Harrison.
you might say.
Dr. Ruth has asked if I would present another one, a visitor from Australia. I hope he is on the platform. Dr. Noel Vose, who is a vice president of the Baptist Union of Australia, the principal or president of the Baptist Theological College of Western Australia, a competent scholar, a wonderful friend who has been spending months in the United States, and I hope he is present to be recognized.
Mr. President and brothers and sisters, it's a great privilege to be with you. I bring you greetings from the Baptist Union of Australia. God bless you in your work and your vision in the spirit of Jesus Christ.
So good to see you again.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to have you.
Now we come to the order of business where we are to elect the officers, the rest of the officers of the convention. And I remind you that nominating speeches for officers of the convention shall be limited to one address of not more than 3 minutes for each nominee. It isn't necessary for a motion that nominations be closed because we'll close the opportunity after we're satisfied that a full opportunity has been given for proper nominations to be made.
Mr. President?
Yes. I recognize Brother O.K. Armstrong of Springfield, Missouri, to make a nomination.
Mr. President and my fellow messengers to this great convention, I have a great privilege and honor to place in nomination one who is already so well known by all of us in Missouri and known to most of you that he is beloved all over the Southern Baptist Convention. It is Dr. W. Ross Edwards, the distinguished editor of that great Baptist publication, The Word and Way. Dr. Edwards came from Arkansas. We Missourians don't hold that against him. As a matter of fact, Arkansas, you know, sent us our great Brooks Hayes. And perhaps the next greatest thing they did was to send us Ross Edwards. He has been a Missouri Baptist for 28 years. He has been a Southern Baptist minister since he was 16 years of age. He was educated in Baptist schools. He holds an earned degree in the doctor as a doctor of theology. He taught for 2 years in one of our theological seminaries. Dr. Edwards has held pastorates in Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, the longest one of which, as you messengers from Kansas City well know, was for 20 years the pastor of the great church, Swope Park Church in Kansas City. He has served on the executive boards of both Arkansas and Missouri, and he was president of our Missouri Baptist Convention for 2 years. He will be entirely at home serving as first vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. In conclusion, may I say that for almost 4 years, he has been editor of our great magazine, continuing the heritage of good religious journalism that has always characterized the Word and Way. He is best known, my fellow messengers, perhaps, for his strong conservative position and loyalty to the Southern Baptist Convention. He was an outstanding editor. And not only that, a Baptist statesman. He has stood steadfast to uphold our basic Baptist principles. Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow messengers, I urge you to vote for this man. It's his time, really, to be one of the vice presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention. As a progressive conservative, and I know not how better to describe Dr. Edwards, he seeks to be fair. He desires to maintain harmony in this great convention, even when opinions differ widely. He has expressed his ideal of a convention in one that will be fair and that will be carried on in a spirit of Christian love. I urge you to vote for our great friend, our Baptist leader in Missouri, Dr. W. Ross Edwards.
Dr. Edwards has been nominated. I recognize Dr. Tom Patterson, Executive Secretary of Texas.
The man I should like to nominate was born in Illinois.
He attended Southern Illinois University. During his college career, he played football. He was chosen on two all-conference teams. 1951, he was the first summer BSU missionary from Illinois. He was sent to Hawaii. The missionary dedication, which was evident then, has characterized his ministry all through the years. Outside of the time he spent in the seminary, his life has been planted in the newer Southern Baptist states, area of our country often referred to in the past as our pioneer section. After graduation from the seminary, he became the first pastor of a church in one of these new states and built one of the great churches of the Southern Baptist Convention, is still the largest church in that state. He's played a major role in changing the image of Baptists in a section where they were often, or have been often, misunderstood. Without compromise of the tenets or principles of his faith, he's worked wisely, tactfully, compassionately to establish good relationships with people, the majority of whom are non-Baptists. He's had numerous opportunities to go elsewhere, but after sincere and sometimes agonizing prayer, he's decided to remain where he is. The election of this man would give recognition to a part of our country where the growth potential for Southern Baptists is unlimited. This man is big in body, big in heart and soul, and big in vision. I nominate Warren Littleford, Minneapolis, Minnesota, area missionary for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Dr. Patterson. I recognize now Dr. James F. Eaves of New Mexico.
Mr. President and fellow messengers, I'm proud to place a nomination for First Vice President of our convention, Dr. James Landis, pastor of First Baptist Church in Richardson, Texas. James Landis is a native of Arkansas. He is a graduate of Wichita University and of Southwestern Baptist Seminary. For 17 years, he was the great pastor of the great First Baptist Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. Then he served with distinction as the president of Hardin-Simmons University. Following his pastorate of First Baptist Church in Birmingham, he came to Richardson. There he is leading First Baptist Church to be one of the largest and fastest growing suburban churches in America. Dr. Landis has served our denomination loyally and with great honor. He has been president of the Texas Baptist Convention. He is now serving as chairman of the Committee on Urban Strategy of the Texas Baptist Convention Executive Board. This committee is working out creative ways to meet the spiritual crises in our great cities. He has served on the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention and on our Radio and Television Commission. Years ago, he was selected to preach the annual convention sermon for this convention. And at that time, he was the youngest man who had ever been asked to preach this sermon. Two of our seminaries have offered to Dr. Landis the chair of evangelism. One of our seminaries has invited him to occupy the chair of preaching. But James Landis has a pastor's heart, and so he has felt led of God to stay and serve in the ministry of the local church. He is a good Baptist. He is a good pastor and preacher. He is a man who is at home presiding and working in the administration of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he is a Christian gentleman in every way. It is a real privilege to nominate Dr. James Landis.
Thank you, Dr. Eaves. I recognize now Dr. William Dotson of Tennessee.
Mr. President and fellow messengers, I wish to place a nomination as First Vice President of this convention, Dr. Earl Harding, Executive Secretary of the Missouri Baptist Convention. Dr. Harding's loyalty to the Bible is unquestioned. His loyalty to preachers is unquestioned. His loyalty to our churches is unquestioned. His great loyalty to missions through the years has been an inspiration to those who know him. His loyalty to laymen in our churches is unquestioned. Dr. Harding is greatly loved by people in his own state of Missouri. He is devoted to his work here in his state. He's known throughout the Southern Baptist Convention by his peers as a man of God. His loyalty to the causes of the Southern Baptist Convention is unquestioned. His interest in students and young people has been noticed. I think for this occasion, no other man is held in a higher esteem by his peers than Dr. Earl Harding. I nominate him as your next first vice president.
I now recognize Brother Marion Hayes from Rhode Island. I'd like to nominate John W. Houston. John has served for the past 5 years as pastor director of the Greater Boston Ministries in Boston, Massachusetts. In these 5 years, John has had a great hand in shaping the work of Southern Baptists in one of the most densely populated areas of the United States. John Houston currently serves as the first president of the Baptist General Association of New England. Before going to New England 5 years ago, John Houston served as pastor of one of the great Southern Baptist churches in Atlanta, Georgia. And while he was in Georgia, he served his denomination well in a number of capacities. Among those was vice president of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Immediately prior to going to New England, John Houston served his denomination as president of the Home Mission Board. John Houston is a man of tireless energy, a man of imagination and creativity, and a man who would serve Southern Baptists well as their first vice president.
Thank you, Marion. Are there other nominations? I recognize Brother Jim Oppert of Florida.
Thank you, Mr. President. I came in a little early on Sunday afternoon and sat in the park across from this great Keel Auditorium and read an inscription that said, "Erected by the people of St. Louis in the year 1932. Do you know what that meant? That the planning and the building process was taking place right in the middle of the Great Depression. That took some great leadership. That took some vision, forethought, for us to meet in this place today, so commodious. I guess I got inspired by doing that. They built another structure similar to this, except they left the top off, and they got a beautiful green carpet in it, though. You'd almost think it was grass if you didn't know better, and that's for messengers, I understand, too. But it takes leadership and vision to do these things. I'd like to place in nomination for first vice president Dr. Bill Self of the Wyuka Road Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He has been elected as one of the 5 outstanding young men of Atlanta. He has a weekly TV program where he interprets God's word in a way that people can understand and live by it daily. He speaks to the business and educational community outside of his church 100 or 150 times a year. And at the same time, he led his church in 5 years to gain some 3,300 members and build a $2 million sanctuary. That's leadership. I'd like to see this convention elect as its first vice president Dr. Bill Self of Wyuka Road, Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Brother Offord. Are there other nominations? Then I shall declare the nominations closed and remind you that election of officers shall be by ballot. And I'll ask Dr. Kendall to come and instruct us about how we shall use these ballots and which ones we shall use.
We would use ballot number one. And if you will look to my right, we have on the, and I hope you can see it, we have the numbers of the men assigned. I'll read them, however, as they were nominated and the position they will be placed on the ballot. Now we'll be using the little squares. We'll be using the little squares opposite the numbers. And we'll use number one for W. Ross Edwards, number two for Warren Littleford, number three for James Landis, number four for Earl Harding, number five for John Houston, and number six for Bill Self. And you will please punch the square out opposite the number assigned to the person for which you want to vote, and be sure to remove that little square from the back of the car. And also, as you remove this ballot, be sure to remove any glue that may be on the end of it, because this will be complicating the machine as the votes are counted. Then if you will, as you pass these to your right and stack them with the cut corner together. You did such a magnificent job last year that the tellers practically had to change none of the ballots after they came into the teller's room. So if you will arrange them as they go down these rows and pass them to your right to the end of the aisle, to the aisle, and then if the ushers will collect them and bring them to the teller's room, and the teller's room is room BB, right here to my left, to your right, just outside of entrance number one. And we will meet there immediately. When you finish, please pass your ballots to the aisle so that the ushers may get them. Now, I hope the ushers are in place with your buckets, and we'll collect these ballots immediately.
Thank you, Dr. Kendall. And while you are marking your ballots, let me read to you a letter which is addressed to the members of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is a pleasure for me to greet you as you gather for your annual meeting, reminding all of us once again of your considerable achievements and of the dynamic role you play in our nation's life. Your organization has thrived in adversity. The thorny path has but increased your strength, and your gains have been a blessing to our country. The sustaining spiritual support you've given to the leaders of this country in times of crisis, the understanding and compassion which you have shown to your fellow citizens, the Christian charity that fills your ranks and inspires your public service, these have earned you a nation's enduring respect. As one who continues to be heartened by the selfless spirit of your mission, I share your confidence in the future and trust your deliberations will further your important work in our society. And it is signed Richard Nixon, President of the United States.